beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
On this week's On the Media, the Manosphere is celebrating what it perceives as a win.
I want to thank some people real quick. I want to thank the Nelk Boys, Aiden Ross, Theo Vaughn, and last but not least, the mighty and powerful Joe Rogan.
So, was 2024 the podcast election? Plus, we hear from you, our listeners, on this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
On the next Jazz Night in America, South Africa's forgotten jazz history with music by Abdullah Ibrahim.
The only reality is a dream, because everything that you see in reality started with a dream.
I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America. Join me for Jazz Night in America, Sunday at 8, here on Radio Catskill.
I'm Stephen Dubner on the next Freakonomics Radio. Cannabis is booming.
So there's a lot of ways in which the current situation is much more of a Wild West.
So why isn't anyone getting rich?
The entirety of the cannabis market is filled with an amazing number of contradictions.
That's next time on Freakonomics Radio, Tuesday at 1 p.m. on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. Halloween continues on Catskill Character with me, your host, Donna Fellenberg, and my guests from many Halloweens ago, Chris Peroni and David Hamill. Chris and David moved into a beautiful old house, never dreaming that someone occupying the house did not appreciate having them there. You're about to enter what they like to call their enchanted house in Bethany, Pennsylvania, with all the goings on. So sit back and enjoy this show from 2017. It never gets old, and it never will. So, Chris Peroni and David Hamill, I met you at WJFF not too long ago, and we're here today to talk about your enchanted house. So, Chris, you really know a lot about Bethany.
Bethany was the original Wayne County seat back in 1805. It is a very old community. It's set up strangely like a more New England town than the typical towns you find that are mostly like set up like sort of like mining towns around here, or almost Western style. This one's more like town square surrounded by houses. Some of it still exists today, and our house goes back to those early days in the 1800s. We love our community, and we love it when people come and see it for the first time.
Well, it is a very old community. And you were telling me about the original configuration of your house and also of some of the streets around here. Would you mention that too?
Our house, the front of our house, is now on a road that no longer exists. Mrs. Miller, who owned the large mansion down below us, she had the road walled off. And so that's the front of our house. So the way you enter our house and the way everything is planted and the yard is situated, it now is kind of funky. David often refers to it as feng shui.
I love that.
Because it's not quite situated right. The main house was just a small little mortise and tenon kind of single structure that is all made of half hand-hewn logs and everything. And that's where my original store was when I first started, after we moved out of the city and I started a business up here.
And what were you doing in the city, Chris?
Oh, I did prop work. I did a little independent film work, and I even did a little writing and real estate. So I kind of did anything I could and everything that I enjoyed. But it led us up here ultimately. We bought our house after 9/11 and just loved it up here. Again, it was kind of magic.
David, what were you doing in the city?
I ended up being a gallery director for about 5 or 6 years, but I was working in the art world for about 10, 15 years. Before that, I was doing some graphic design for Citibank.
This house was built in 1805, did you say?
No, 1826.
Oh, Bethany was established in 1805.
Yes. Yeah, and the house originally belonged to the Collins family. I've done quite a bit of historic research just because of some of the odd things that were going on here that...
Odd.
Yes, we traced it back to Augustus Collins, and there's actually some big old books up in the library which, you know, describe him as a landowner, and his family members were some of the only, like, the first doctor in Wayne County, and a sheriff.
So after 9/11, you decided to leave the city and you started coming up here. David, how did you end up in this particular house?
Well, we were originally looking for a place in Bethel near some friends who also had a kind of a weekend getaway place. And so we did a lot of exploring up in New York State and just discovered that probably really just couldn't afford it, basically. And so at one point we laid out a map and we got a compass and we kind of marked where our friends lived and we just did a nice big circle around and then started exploring all the area within that circle. We also used to come here to go camping. At Promised Land Lake. Chris kind of grew up spending some summers at Promised Land Lake. And so we're like, well, why haven't we been even looking in Pennsylvania? And so we just began our search and searched and searched, and here we are.
And here you are.
Well, yeah, we were here for the inspection, and the house had been, I think, abandoned for about 10 years. At any rate, it was a real mess. And so during the inspection, the inspector was upstairs, and he turned on the water, and I was in the kitchen here with the realtor, and all of a sudden, the entire ceiling in the kitchen just collapsed on us and cascaded us with water. And so...
A very good start.
And we still bought the house even, yeah.
The realtor said she would come to the closing with a gas can.
If
David would bring matches. We came in and started doing some renovations, and the first room was that little room where my shop used to be on the side of the house. I call it the carriage barn. That's what the original house actually was. There, you know, some of the folks that I've talked to believe. We found an old cutting board in there. The previous owners, their grandfather, who was quite a gruff man, a Spanish-American war veteran, so that's how far back, you know, like he went. He made the cutting board. He had like hooks in the hand-hewn beam ceiling for dressing the animals and stuff. There was like an old butcher's saw. But the cutting board had fallen apart, and me being an antique nut, I said, let's glue it together with these big pipe clamps and keep it. So we brought it into the house. We glued it together. It was on the kitchen table, and it was there for about a week because we went back to the city, and I just let it dry there on the kitchen table. When we came back, we just jumped right into the work on the house, and I said to David, where did the cutting board go? And he was like, I didn't touch it, and neither had I. We just couldn't find it. I'd say like 6 months later, I had to move the refrigerator for some reason, and the refrigerator's in a little alcove. It was behind the refrigerator, kind of perfectly placed. The pipe clamps just barely fit into that space. It was very strange that it was back there. It couldn't have fallen back there, and why would we have put the fridge back on it? It just didn't make sense.
You know, things happened well before that even. Oh. I mean, right after the closing, we came back to the house to clean. It was a mess, and it smelled like cat box. Yeah. And Chris's mom and dad had come up from their place to help us out. They were off to Walmart to get a bunch of cleaning supplies, and I was upstairs fiddling around, cleaning whatever. Chris's parents, they're a very vocal family, a lot of drama, a lot of yelling, Italian, cuckoo birds. And so they were gone for maybe 5-10 minutes, and all of a sudden, I'm upstairs, I hear the kitchen door slam, and I hear a humongous argument going on, yelling and slamming, a ruckus. And I thought to myself, oh boy, something happened on the way to Walmart and now they're back. So I come back downstairs and I'm saying, hey guys, you're back right away. And there was literally no one here in the house but me. And I swear that all the hairs on my entire body just went up and I left the building and waited for them to truly come back home from Walmart with all the cleaning supplies. I was really, really freaked out.
Wow, I don't blame you. I'd be out of here so fast. Oh, my goodness. And didn't you also tell me when we spoke at Jeff that it wasn't just the cutting board that you found behind the refrigerator. You found some other things, too.
You know, sometimes it's a constant battle when you're, like, working on something. And it can be very frustrating. And the more frustrated you get, the more it seems to feed off of that. You know, and I think, you know, it's the same chicken or the egg theory. It's like, well, is it me or is it something else? You know, and I am a big ghost story and horror buff, but I've never really said like, oh, I want to live in a now haunted house. I don't even like to use the word haunted. I consider it enchanted, you know. Haunted has a negative connotation, and although there can be negative and positive things that happen, I believe that's life. just back to that, it's like it kind of like causes fighting and frustration, and then kind of feeds off it and stays in a way it picks a fight with you, and therefore it has its relationship with you. Mm-hmm. I keep saying it because I can't really identify it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, any couple, if they're working on a house or doing something that causes stress, they start picking on each other. But here you had an added, I don't know what else to call it, but you had something else, an added energy that was causing more friction.
Yeah, I mean, working together, you know, doing something like this does cause a lot of stress, but it seemed like there was something else involved. And, you know, for a while, we just didn't want to believe any of that. You know, this is not something that I wanted to happen or believe in. But we bought a stove and we were installing it into the house, the sort of spot where the stove goes. And we discovered that there was just about 2 inches, the stove was about 2 inches too big to fit. And so what we had to do is carve away a bit of a beam to kind of sniggle the stove into the space. And boy, I'll tell you, it was so difficult to do. And we were fighting up a storm, just really struggling. And
what time of year was it?
You know, it was in February. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we just had hit this wall with the project, with each other. And all of the doors upstairs immediately just slammed, one right after the other. Boom, 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 boom. 5 of them, boom. I mean, the house shook with the slamming. And Chris and I stopped yelling at each other. And
just that'll do it.
Put our tools down. And we literally, like, ran out of the house.
Now, we had a cat at the time, and he was quite large, but he wasn't a tiger. So, and we didn't have a dog at the time, so there was no one in the house, no windows were open, it was winter.
And when we finally, like, holding hands, creeping back up the stairs together, all of the doors were open. It's intense.
You know, that's so interesting, though, because it's almost as though whatever it is was trying to help you to stop. It sure stopped you right in your tracks, and the next thing you know, you're holding hands, walking back into the house. So that was kind of what you were talking about,
it's
Chris.
Strange. I mean, sometimes it's at odds with you, and other times it's working with you. But that again, is what makes our house. You know, we fell in love with it when we came through here. We sort of got, it's not a big house. It's just a small, old Federal, and we kind of got lost the day the realtor brought us. I mean, it was all overgrown. And really, again, the cat urine smell and the damage that was done to it, we had enough finances that we could have bought a different house. And it's not like we looked a whole lot, but we chose this one because
something drew you, it sounds.
Magic. Yeah, I had a dream about it right after we saw it. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to tell me your dream because we could go on forever. This is Catskill Character, and you've been listening to Chris Peroni and David Hamill reveal the hidden secrets about their enchanted house in Bethany, Pennsylvania. Stay tuned for more enchantment, but don't listen alone. and don't listen in a dark room.
Radio Catskill is partnering with StoryCorps for One Small Step, an effort to remind the country of the humanity in all of us. I'm Isabel Braverman, and we are pairing up strangers in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania to have conversations, not debates. Get to know your neighbors. Let's take one small step away from division and toward each other. Sign up at WJFFradio.org.
StoryCorps' One Small Step and the radio station hubs are made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Radio Catskills annual music sale is this Saturday after Thanksgiving, and we still need donations of high-quality vinyl, super clean discs, indecent jackets, collectible pop, rock, and jazz records, as well as genres that we don't often see at the sale, hip-hop, heavy metal, and experimental records. And what we need more than anything else is you, a collector who has cared for your records and would like to see them go to a good home. If you're a collector who needs to downsize, email feedback at wjffradio.org.
Welcome back to Catskill Character. I'm Donna Fellenberg. My guests today are Chris Peroni and David Hamill. They live in a haunted house in Bethany, Pennsylvania. And if you don't believe in ghosts, you may change your mind when you hear what they have to say. In the second half of the show, David feels the chilly hands of death at his back, and he's shoved. Well, let's let David tell the story.
I turned one of the bedrooms upstairs into my office, and again, this is the winter time. It was about November. I don't remember the year, but I was going back to school to get certified to teach, and I was going to Marywood, and so I was up early evening in my office doing some homework. I was home alone. Chris was still in Brooklyn with the cat. I had just moved up here full-time to go back to school. Chris was wrapping things up in Brooklyn, and I'm at my computer, and I'm typing, and I felt something literally shove me from behind in the middle of my back and push me against my desk while I was typing. I jumped out of my seat, and again, I keep running out of the house. I ran out of the house again.
I don't blame you one bit.
Called me.
And I called Chris, just near hysterical. I mean, the force of whatever did that was, it felt angry. And it just shoved me against my desk, all like out of nowhere.
You certainly have evidence of some kind of anger that this entity has. There's a story about the woman who drove by with her niece.
Yeah. When my shop was in the little carriage barn, there's a little side road. And when I had all my stuff outside, people would pull in and park and come look around. This old woman and her niece pulled up in a car, and I said, "Hey, why don't you pull over? You're just kind of staring." And the niece said, "Oh, she won't get out of the car. She's afraid." And I said, "What?" And she said, "Yeah, she lived in the house across from you, the rental property across the closed off road." And I said, "Oh, well, why would she be afraid?" The niece then proceeded to tell me that when she was living in that house, a dark cloud shape came from our house and entered her house and tried to strangle her. It's odd to talk about this. You know, I got their name. I won't say it, but that was the first time that I really got spooked. Everything else was kind of, again, like enchanting and comical and interesting and coincidental and fun, and then that I didn't like.
She's not the only person outside of the two of you who has had an experience with your house.
No. We also one weekend brought someone back to our house from New York, and he worked with David, and his family lived in Scranton, and his sister drove over to pick him up here in Bethany. And unbeknownst to us, he didn't tell us that she was kind of like a part-time spiritualist and medium. And she came up the steps and wouldn't come into the house. And even though we kept saying, come in, you know, she wouldn't come in. And then she She told our friend why later. She said she was kind of greeted by something not so positive. It does make you nervous to talk about it, too, because you kind of were sitting here in our house in the middle of the day, and some of the things that have happened to us have happened in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, it's uncanny.
I'll say. You also told me about someone that you saw.
On another instance, I was closing up the shop when it was on the side of the house. To the right of the door of where the little carriage barn is, I thought I saw like a man in overalls tucked into the corner between the chimney. It was all gray.
Kind of like the figure that ran across the street and tried to strangle.
Well, yeah, that she described that more as a black smoke. This guy was just kind of standing there.
Oh, he wasn't that angry that day.
I don't know. You know, again, I only know what I see on TV and what I've experienced and, you know, about the paranormal and stuff. And we've always been sort of interested, and I've always been into horror stuff. But again, I've never really wished this on myself. No. And nor do I like feel like it's something that I have anything to gain by necessarily. It's just, it is strange when these things occur. And you ask yourself, you know, it's what is the most interesting facet to me is that you're always riding this thin edge of coincidence.
Now, I think that you told me, David, nothing has happened in a while, but you had an incident when you spoke to this entity. Would you tell us about that?
When I was shoved and then left the house, called Chris on my cell phone and came back into the house, I had to spend the night here. It was the middle of November. I had nowhere to go. And I had to have a conversation with this thing. And I said, you can be here. Do not ever touch me again. And I felt ridiculous doing it. But that's all I felt that I could do. I mean, I kept imagining having to go back upstairs, go into bed, and then have God knows what happened to me. The covers flying around, or, you know, who knows, you know, or, you know, slapped around. So I just said, you know, you can be here if you have to be here, but do not touch me. And we've had several conversations with whatever.
Well, has it touched you since then?
And it has not. No, it has not. So but I have had small little things, but it's been relatively quiet for a while. And things are starting to heat up a little bit again. I don't know why.
Uh-oh, I didn't know about this. Well, I must go now. But Chris, you also told me a story about talking to him about the house.
Yes, I, you know, we've done things to try and, like, dispel, again, whatever it is. We've saged, we've done things like that. I'm familiar with that because I have an antique shop, and it's, you know, it's just kind of like, it's starting to become a common practice that you smudge.
Okay.
It's an old old Native American kind of ritual where you cleanse a physical item or a
using
space.
Sage.
Yeah, using dried sage to remove any kind of negative energy or spirit. What happened was, I believe after the door slamming incident, I had really gotten upset and I yelled, you know, like, hey, look, if you know, if you prevent us from doing the work here, this house is going to go, because it was in rough shape. And we're trying to save this place for you so that, you know, we all can be here together. So can we please try to live in cooperation?
Wow, that was so...
Yeah, well, it came out that way now, but I don't think it was exact. There was a few, like, interesting words in there, too.
Okay, so I think we've hit most of the high points.
The one last thing that had happened was recently, David and I were in the living room a few weeks ago eating dinner. The dog and cat were there with us, you know, begging for food as they usually do. And we like to watch the news and eat. And there was a very loud bell-like noise that came from our kitchen, which is right next to the living room. And we both just stopped eating, looked at each other, walked out into the kitchen, and we couldn't figure out at first what it was, but it was our chandelier on the kitchen ceiling that has three arms and three crystal bell-like sconces. Now, I hadn't realized it at the time, but I had had an argument with my mother about this chandelier because it had sparked and electrocuted me when she kept arguing with me about removing the light bulbs and putting different light bulbs in. Now, my mom passed away about 4 or 5 years ago, and the odd thing was it was the same day that my mom had passed.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And again, I don't know if maybe it's the whole area of Bethany that's possibly, you know, a conduit. I know there's, in the very old history books, there were elk, there were boar, there were Native Americans, you know, but the place is kind of magical. We're elevated. We're kind of like at the top, like kind of mountain range here in Bethany too. Like we're definitely above where the canal and the railroad were and all the other civilized places.
Well, before we close, I just want to mention that ping that you did for the audience, there's no other way for that to happen. Someone...
It was a very loud ping, too. Like it would have hurt your fingers doing it.
That was light compared to the sound. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't find a dead bird on the table or, you know, there's nothing hanging around it that would have made that noise. It didn't crack. You know, it didn't do that from the cold and the heat or whatever. And yeah, just again, these things happen a lot. Like even in the harsh light of day outside, you know, sometimes you'll feel like you're not alone and that the house is watching you. And if you're down in the yard and you look back at the house, you know, there could be some hard shadows outside and, you know, you kind of just wonder, you know, like if you are alone.
Well, after this, I certainly think that we are not alone. And I just want to thank you so much, both of you, for sharing this wonderful story, for opening up your house to me. And it's just fascinating. So thank you both very much.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks.
You have been listening to Catskill Character as we explore true haunting stories as told from their own experiences by people of the Catskills. Today, we spoke with Chris Peroni and David Hamill about their haunted house in Bethany, Pennsylvania. I've been your host, Donna Fellenberg. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFRadio.org.
This is Cooper R. Grace, KG, right here in the place to be, WJFF Radio Catskills Music Emporium, Tuesday night, 7 to 9. 2 hours of great music, jazz, funk, blues. I got mellow grooves to help you unwind, exciting rhythms to help you cut loose. Join me Tuesday night for the Music Emporium, 7 to 9, right here on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Made possible by listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org. Listen on air, live streaming at wjffradio.org, or ask your smart speaker to play Radio Catskill.